internetcases.com podcast, February 13th, 2006.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the internetcases.com podcast, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, USA. I'm attorney Evan Brown, and I'm the author of the weblog found at internetcases.com. Thanks for tuning in. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know it's been a long time since the last episode, and you may have been wondering whether there would ever be another one again. It looks like the last podcast was way back on November 29th, 2005. There's a couple of reasons I'm doing this podcast now. One, I've really missed doing them, and I know that I used to have a few loyal listeners out there, so I'm curious to see if anyone still has this RSS feed in their aggregators. Another reason I'm back at this podcast is because I got an email a few days ago from my friend Kevin Thompson, who I used to work with at another law firm here in Chicago. Kevin writes the very informative Cyber Law Central weblog. That's at www.cyberlawcentral.com. You should check it out. Anyway, he wrote me a while back asking me if I'm what they're calling a pod fader. That's a word that's starting to be tossed around a little bit more these days. It refers obviously to a person who once had a podcast but stopped doing it. I'm not ready to hang up the mic quite yet, so I thought I would give it another shot. So here goes. I'm here talking with you once again, and I'd like to discuss a case that's worth watching. It's been recently filed in a state court in California. The case is called Sexton versus Target Corporation, and it's worth keeping an eye on because the outcome could affect a large number of companies that do business online, at least in California. A victory for the plaintiff would mean increased costs for e-commerce website owners and greater revenue for web developers who are hired to bring websites into compliance. At issue in the case is whether Target, the owner of the popular department store, has violated a California state law that incorporates the requirements of the federal Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA for short. The plaintiffs, which include a blind internet user named Bruce Sexton and the advocacy group known as the National Federation for the Blind, have alleged that Target failed to accommodate blind users of the website Target.com. Apparently, Target has not placed enough text into its site so that blind users can understand the content when read to them using audio devices called screen readers. Now, this is not the first time that the question of website accommodation has been before a court. In 2002, a blind internet user and the advocacy group Access Now filed a federal suit under the ADA against Southwest Airlines, making a similar challenge to the usability of Southwest.com. At the district court level in that case, Southwest successfully moved to dismiss, and that decision was affirmed by the 11th Circuit. The district court in the Southwest case had held that the plain and unambiguous language of the statute and relevant regulations does not include internet websites among the definitions of places of accommodation. The court went on to state that for a cause of action to fall within the scope of the ADA, a public accommodation must be a physical, concrete structure. Accordingly, the Southwest.com website was not a public accommodation and was outside the scope of the ADA. Although the district court in the Southwest Airlines case came down squarely in its holding that a website is not a place of public accommodation, some observers believe that the holding may not be all that strong. The 11th Circuit upheld the district court, but it did so merely on procedural grounds. What happened is the plaintiffs had failed to properly raise the place of accommodation issue on appeal. So the 11th Circuit's holding does not directly affirm the holding that a website is not a place of public accommodation. But in any event, the district court's opinion remains a valid statement of the law. The California State Court will not be constrained by the prior decision that raises the issue in the Southwest.com case. If the Target case goes to trial, we may learn that in California, at least, a website owner may be required to take extra measures to accommodate its blind users. Now, there is something additional worth noting here, and the nuances of this issue could be the subject of another podcast in and of itself. Consider the effect of a ruling by a California court saying that all websites that reach consumers in California have to be designed so that the blind can access them. One wouldn't imagine that there are many companies out there that seek to do business online only in California. Indeed, websites from all over the world are accessed by California citizens. And it's also unlikely that businesses would set up a special, blind-accessible website only for use in California. No, they're going to set up one site for general use everywhere. Because of this, then, wouldn't a requirement by California that all websites be accessible essentially be a mandate that almost all websites everywhere, or at least those originating in the United States, be accessible to the blind? That is something to consider. Well, that's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. I need to remind you that all I've said here is merely for your information and entertainment, and as always, if you need legal advice, you should personally consult with a lawyer. If you enjoy reading my weblog or listening to this podcast, I would sure like to hear from you. Send an email to ebrown@internetcases.com. Also, feel free to send an audio comment via MP3. I just might include it in an upcoming episode of this podcast. The posts on the weblog are open for comments, so feel free to join in the conversation. I'd also appreciate your vote on podcastalley.com. You can find the link to cast your vote in today's show notes. Also in today's show notes is information about the music that you're hearing. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk with you again very soon.